This is Aaron Kessel with We Are Change, and I have here Serena Shim's family. And they're going to talk about Serena Shim, her life, her accomplishments, as well as the way that they feel that she was killed by the Turkish government.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you very much for having us. I'm Judy Pohl. That's with my daughter, Fatma Shim, her sister, and her husband, Raham Shim.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. So tell me a bit about Serena Shim and her journalism.
Journalism kind of fell into Sassy's lap. Sassy was being groomed to be into the government, and as you know, Sassy was amazingly brilliant, way before her time. And she realized, quite frankly, that government would not be the vehicle to be the voice and benefit the people. And journalism was her vehicle to do that, and she did it.
She did a good job at it, and she ultimately paid the price by wanting to report on what she said, that she saw images of ISIS.
Well, we got to backtrack there. We got to go back to...
You want to backtrack?
Yeah, we need to go back. We got to go back to 2009 when Sassy started screaming this before their ISIS. I forget their name of the day. At that time, as you know, it changes all the time. In 2012, Sassy was literally in ISIS camps in Turkey with high-ranking members of ISIS, and her little sister was in the tank houses with the soldiers. At that time, everything was being filtered coming out of Turkey. When Sassy went into Ukraine and she went to Turkey, it wasn't she wanted to do this, she had to do it. Duty called, she answered.
Right, it's a journalist's job.
She went into Turkey, and I have to get in. We hear about all these journalists that are refused entry into Turkey. In 2012, Erdogan had a face-to-face confrontation with Sassy, physically had her removed from a press conference, and screamed, "Get her out of the country, never let her back in this country." In 2014, she went back into the country.
Wow.
But all these other journalists aren't allowed in?
No, Turkey's very hard on journalists.
So there was a direct relationship with Erdogan and Serena Shim.
So they had a direct relationship, and she was threatened prior to being threatened, as she said.
No, he screamed out at her as he had security remove her, get her out of the
country. Right, he had her removed.
And never let her back in, but she easily went back in 2014. They took her out.
They took her out.
Went back in 2014. We've had several journalists that want to come forward, and as a family, we've discussed that. For safety reasons, there's no way we can allow something like that to happen.
Right. I understand that. So, prior to...
Yes, in 2011, she got her claws in it. In 2012,
she exposed
it. That's when he had her removed. He had her removed in 2012 at a press conference. In 2014, Sassy, on October 10th, which was her 29th birthday, she was headed back to Turkey. She had information in Turkey. She had great relationships in Turkey with the people, with the Kurdish people. Across the board, she had great relationships in Turkey.
Right.
She was allowed re-entry into Turkey.
Okay. So they allowed her back in then?
Right. And there's other journalists that have never been into Turkey and that can't get in.
Yeah. Turkey's very hard on journalism.
But how does Erdogan have her removed and she comes back in easy?
That's interesting.
It's telling all. It tells volumes to us. It should tell volumes to the world. Everybody can't be deaf, blind, and stupid. Maybe fearful, but at some point we have to stand up. Duty called, she answered.
Right. She saw corruption and she wanted to expose it. That's what she signed up to do when she chose to be a journalist. She said in her Press TV interview prior to the suspicious car accident that she was looking into ISIS and she had images from, I think it was called the Tefikir or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry.
I know what you're referring to, but it's the wrong city. She was 6 miles outside of Kobani. Sassy was going on to Kobani into Syria. For $500, low-ranking members of ISIS will take you back and forth into Syria in NGO trucks.
There was two U.S. Pentagon officials who came out, and they said that ISIS was funded by the U.S. government to overthrow Assad in Syria. At this point, I think it's not really a secret that elitist oil cartel groups and stuff like that are using ISIS to kind of sell oil. And I mean, it's a crazy, crazy world.
But Aaron, go backwards. We didn't mention right. ISIS. ISIS was not a household name. Daesh was not a household name until the murder of Serena Shem.
Right.
It was kind of a hush-hush thing.
It was the, if I recall correctly, it was the Free Syrian Army, or is...
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, and that's how it started. But it ended up rolling into other sectors and having different names after
right.
every, exactly, after every, being the Free Syrian Army, being connected with Al-Qaeda, and then bringing
Al-Qaeda,
to
Nusra, yeah.
and then having ISIS, and then having ISIL. So it's just all
right.
offsprings of the same thing.
Right. Exactly. That's what it is. It's just the same group just respawned over and over.
Yeah. And that's something that I have to bring to light is the fact that my sister, you know, not being biased, but she was faster maybe than time or light or technology because she was giving out this critical information before anybody was on the ground. She was actually, she gave out this information in 2012 when she was trending number one on the internet. And her working for Press TV was, was one of the reasons that she was able to get out this critical information because working for any type of other media, it's kind of a hush-hush thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Amber Lyons, she was a reporter for CNN, and she said that she had a story that was covered up by CNN editorial board. So the U.S. media... really doesn't want to talk about certain things.
Well, yeah, that's 100%, and that's why my sister chose to work with Press TV, not being, you know, she's full American, and she moved to Lebanon and worked with Press TV just for the fact of that they liked to let out real exposing news that was happening at the time that it was happening.
Because it's coming out of Iran. I think many nations, and especially NATO, thinks that they can brush the assassination of Serena Shem under the rug. That's
right.
That is not going to happen.
Right.
Sassy filmed them on her cell phone. Do you know who the vice president of the NGOs was?
No.
You should research that one. Do you know who Jackie Sutton's best friend worked for?
No, but I remember seeing Jackie Sutton, and there was a couple more different journalists that were killed in Turkey at that time.
The Japanese journalist that was going when the hostages were free was staying in the same hotel as Sass.
Interesting.
But Sass had a lot of connections in Turkey, and she was very light on her feet. She didn't go with an entourage. She was not a showboat. She lived the war with the people.
Right.
She was part of it. Or they would have got Sassy. She had friends there that warned her they were looking for her.
Mm-hmm. So prior to this suspicious car accident, she was already a target.
Sass, do you want my opinion as her mother?
Sure.
They were going to kill Sassy no matter where she was.
Right.
She had too much information. The easiest country to assassinate her in is Turkey because Turkey can do whatever Turkey wants to do, as we see.
We see
it on a daily basis.
Turkey's been going after journalists for years. Going back decades, I believe.
Sassy didn't just jump up. She was in the Ukraine and didn't just jump up and say, oh, I'm going to Turkey and I have to go now. It was her 29th birthday. She says, Mom, I'm She was baited. We have the proof. She was baited. She was provided the information. She provided what's going on. If you listen to her last interview, which is not her last interview, that is her last interview that was aired.
Right.
They never aired her last interview. She says, I interview all parties. She should. She's a journalist.
Of course. You can't show bias as a journalist. If you show bias as a journalist, then...
But the member of parliament that she interviewed? Right. He's never came out and spoke. And he is openly against Erdogan. He's never came out and spoke. She interviewed him in his home. I have the pictures from her cell phone in his home.
Wow. He hasn't spoken up because he's afraid of Erdogan as well.
I don't know that, or I don't know if he's a traitor and he's in on it and he's deceiving the people because he's openly against Erdogan. So you thought he would have came out. This journalist just interviewed me. Here's the film. The mayor and his son of Zurich, which supposedly were was assassinated at, they assassinated them. We don't know this to be true. Supposedly they were going to speak about the assassination of Sassy, and they murdered him. They showed them in the cars and everything, never showed Sassy once.
Wow, I didn't hear that part before.
Yeah, it's all over the internet.
I haven't seen that yet, no.
Yeah, and with everything social media and technology, there's not one picture of my sister from any degree or any level of her in the car shown, which is something that's very shocking for me. Also, another thing that I'd like to highlight is the fact that my sister was taken to a hospital that was an hour and a half away from the scene, that was a secret military hospital.
That she had already reported on that Erdogan's daughter was the head of, and they were treating ISIS members.
Oh, wow. I didn't know all that.
It was 2 hours and 41 minutes away where they took Sassy.
I knew that. I didn't know she was taken to a military hospital.
A secret military hospital.
A secret military hospital. Wow.
The Erdogan's daughter that just got married, she was the head of the hospital. Sassy had already exposed that in another report where they were treating him there. Yet Judy Irish, they did not know, was Sassy's niece.
Cousin,
that's my namesake.
Okay.
They took her to a hospital 15 minutes away.
Not only that, giving an autopsy on her body, which is against Islamic law, which is an Islamic country, giving an autopsy on her body without the permission of any family members or anybody being there.
So they gave an autopsy without any presence of anybody being there, any family members?
No. Her cousin Judy Irish, who was present with her during the accident, was taken to a hospital that was 15 minutes away.
We don't, in fact, know there was actually an autopsy.
Right.
We're told that there was an autopsy.
Right.
And we're told the original story was that Judy was driving the wrong way, or Judy was driving on a highway, and a cement truck hit her, and the cement truck took off and couldn't find her. They couldn't find her. Then he reappeared.
And they were on a 3-lane highway with a median in the middle that only goes one way.
Right.
You know, the information is clear enough for a blind man to see. Anybody who does a little studying on Google, I mean, it's not something that you really have to dig to get information to make a decision. The information is very clear and it's very simple. But being Turkey, I mean, even me being there and her husband who's present with me now being there, we saw the ISIS militants crossing over the borders with
They have their own stamp.
They have their own stamp with no fear. No one's stopping them or asking them any questions. Ambulances going and coming from Turkey into Syria holding heavy machinery. The Syrian refugee camps were full of high-ranked ISIS members, which I walked through these camps with my sister. If you go into these camps that are supposed to be for Syrian refugees, you walk into these camps and they're lavish camps with flat screen TVs. If you see these men, they're kind of like superior creatures. I've never seen a man in my life with that type of body strength, that type of look. I don't know where they're trained. It is something out of this world, something that you could not even imagine. Tall, huge men, huge muscles that are in these Syrian refugee camps and are willing to take $500 to show you or give you or take you into Syria to see whatever you want.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think one thing we need to touch on, when Sassy went live in that 5-minute live interview, we ask ourselves as our family, we know Sassy, she's amazing. How did she know when she said, they think I'm back under the umbrella of Kobani? We all know now it was a lot more than Kobani.
Now, who is Kobani for the viewers who don't know?
Kobani is a very strategic area, and it's on the borders between the countries where they're muzzling patrol. That's exactly okay. What Kobani is. Now you have, for the wrong use of terminology, I don't know if they use mass media or Western media. Which one should I use?
Both of them blacked it out.
Both of them blacked it out, and they're making it as it is a a war that is going on there, and they are fighting for their land, which that is not as what's going on. It's a strategic area, which all wars are strategic. One thing that my sister did teach me is that this is a proxy war, which is what's going on in Syria, and that is a strategic
right.
area where they're muzzling in patrol. So for my sister to go to Kobani and to cover Kobani as a journalist, as it being just an area that is in danger, there was no point of her going back a second time if she had already covered it the first time, if she did not have critical information other than what was going on with the people there.
Right. It's interesting. I never heard of the Kobani.
Well, if you look up Kobani geographically, you'll see that it's very strategic. You can where exactly where it lays between. You have Iraq and Syria, and Kobani is in the middle. So, I mean, you have these, like we said from the beginning, you had Jabhat al-Nusra, and then it broke off into, the Free Syrian Army, then it went into
right.
Jabhat al-Nusra, ISIS and ISIL, and that's where they're all smuggling. So you as a journalist would know that nothing this has to do with religion.
Yeah. Right, it doesn't have anything to do
no.
with religion. Religion's kind of the scapegoat for.
Well, you can have a mass community support you unless you say God, which is a shame.
Right. Right. It's a shame that Islam's being dragged down by Daesh, ISIS, whatever name you want to give.
Wait, well, we're going in and saying Allah Akbar, and we're dying in the name of God.
Right.
It's a bunch of fanaticals. They're drug-filled, brainwashed.
Playing PlayStation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And do you know they go into the town of Hatay, and the vendors there, they force them to give them free coffee? You murder people, and you walk into a town, and you're concerned about getting a free coffee.
Oh, wow.
But one thing that
the audacity of some people, wow.
Yeah, one thing that I do want to bring to light, just to give some history, is the fact that my sister went
sure,
into Syria. Excuse me. Well, my sister was in Syria when, Syria, Iraq, Ukraine, Lebanon, every country, everywhere there was the starting of any type of...
Statue was on the ground.
Of every serious war zone. But one thing that I do want to bring to light is that my sister was there in 2012. Going into Turkey in 2012, she was working through a production company, which all production companies are controlled by the government there. So her information was being filtered. Coming in years later on, she had brought in her own montage.
Sassy rented
editor,
a car and she took an editing class.
Own
she
camera,
bought a camera and she filmed off
and
herself.
And had did everything and was letting out this information without using any type of production company. So this is
right.
where we fell into the turmoil.
Own. Right, she was doing it on her own. She was trying to report what she wanted to report with the lowest amount of... budget that she could do.
It wasn't budget. It was
she
the lowest
it
amount.
Herself.
It was the lowest amount of limelight.
Okay, I'm sorry. I
yeah,
just used the word budget because it was kind of like a cheap
don't.
Type of setup.
Aaron, don't worry. I know nothing about terminology.
Aaron, we get the most
okay.
you know, but I'll give you something. Look at the cement truck.
Yeah.
Supposedly hit Sassy. Look at their license plate on the cement truck. Look at the film with Sassy filmed. ISIS coming in. It's all on Google. Look at the license plate of the white car across from her. Look at the license plate from 2012 when she exposed NGO there. Every single license plate has the same city code.
Really? That's interesting.
Another thing that I'd like to say that maybe your viewers or anybody, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I want people to know that Turkey is a very... is a country that uses a lot of technology even more than America. There is not a street in Turkey that does not have a camera. The MIT is all over Turkey. They have it under control all over. So for my sister for them to say that this is a suspicious car accident, there needs to be some type of degree of photos of her in the car, where she was taken. I took my sister from Turkey back to Lebanon illegally. I was refused her passport and her wedding ring.
Wow.
When she arrived in Lebanon, they didn't even know Sassy was on the plane.
Wow.
Sassy had been passed, and we had buried her 7 days before the American embassy called her husband to know if she was on Turkish soil. I spoke with the American embassy in Paris, laying over, trying to get to Beirut. They wanted her husband to come get her. Fatma and I decided that's not going to happen. Fatma left for Turkey. We left from America to, we were in Paris. She caught me in Paris. I was on the phone with the American embassy in Paris, and they said, Turkish law says her body cannot be removed for 7 days. I said, her sister has her. They said, Fatima's on the ground. That is not embassy terminology. That is military terminology. And I said, I don't know where the hell my daughter is. I'm on the way to pick up Sassy, which was not true. But Fatima had her.
Wow.
There was not one single scratch on Sassy.
Wow.
Do you know if you Google Sassy's name in Turkey, automatically they come get you? You're blocked out?
Huh. No, I didn't know that.
There was supposed to be a trial on March 15th. They threw us a bone. They finally, miraculously found the truck driver. They threw us a bone. They were going to try him.
Yeah.
The prosecutor that was going to try her, I believe now she's no longer in Turkey. I don't want to mention the country she's in. And that trial never happened.
Wow. So they're fighting that? No. They're fighting a trial as well?
No, they just didn't have it. They threw us a bone to shut us up, which is going to happen.
Right. They threw you something to shut you up, and then the trial just didn't happen, and the person disappeared. Because probably threatened. But, I mean, that's just assuming.
Well, that's 100%.
It's 100%.
I mean, she's no longer in the country.
Yeah. Right. That's crazy. I didn't know there was so much to the story. I knew about certain things here and there because I've done a little bit of research myself. But I didn't know about the license plates within the, you said, at the accident, scene of the accident, the UN,
the
organization truck.
The cement truck is actually going the wrong way. If you read the first report that I said they did a real shoddy job. They put the cement truck going the wrong way on the highway, the 3-lane, 1-way highway.
Oh, really?
And I said they did a shoddy job. They claimed originally the cement truck did not stop. They couldn't locate the driver. Then they claimed they located the driver. Then they claimed that Judy was at fault. She entered off of a ramp. Judy was on a 3-lane, 1-way highway with a medium. And literally in Lebanon, when we were in Lebanon, she said, Aunt Judy, that's not where we were. I said, what do you mean? And she shows me the selfie. She just took her and Sassy. The cars they're putting that they say my daughter was in the accident in is not even the rental car she rented.
I remember seeing something like that. I remember looking into that. And, I looked at it, and they showed the two different cars, and it doesn't look like it's the same car at all.
Well, actually, they show five different cars if you research it better, none of which are the car because Judy had just taken the selfie. And she has the windshield of the car and the sticker in the car on the selfie.
Wow. It's crazy. That's Turkish government, though, for you. Like, Erdogan,
well,
I mean.
Turkey's not alone. They've got enablers.
They've got enablers. Yeah, that's true. But in general, since we're just speaking about Turkey, Turkish government's just, like I said, relentless against journalists. And sorry that this happened to you and your daughter and your family, and that you guys have to go through this heartache.
we're perplexed. We bought into the story. Okay, she's a freelance journalist. She was there working for Iran, which is Press TV. Let's just say it how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an easy reason to brush it under the rug. But the whole world has turned their back on her?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. The American government, that was particularly interesting, what they actually said about her.
That was disgusting.
Yeah.
Come on, you could have got a better writer than that.
Yeah. It was interesting what they said, because...
And you saw the Russian reporter go after him, and they shut her right down.
Yeah. The RT, I think she was RT reporter.
She was RT.
Yeah. I was pretty sure she was RT reporter.
She was supposed to appear on RT on October 20th. They killed her on October 19th.
Right, because if she would have gotten that RT attention, that would have been...
She was supposed to be on RT. Ashton came out and said, we'll have the truth on the ground. We have Serena Shum on the ground. We'll have the truth. And they came out and killed her. Says it sold a lot of her work. It wasn't just the Press TV deal. Her primary issue was with Press TV. They were a young company. You know, the last few years, things had happened to change a lot, and she had been on the ground everywhere. And they tried to portray it like Press TV is only exposes the Shia Muslim version.
Right.
I can't speak for Press TV. I'm not real pleased with her actions at all.
Right.
But Sassy showed all sides. She had been there. She had developed. She was way beyond. How did she know? How did she know where to be all the time? Where did it come from?
Right. She did a very good job reporting, and she just exposed the wrong thing, as many other journalists. It's a sad thing that journalism is a kind of risk job. When it comes to freelance reporting, you become an enemy of the state or an enemy of somebody with power, and they're going to eventually try to get you.
Like I said before, we have to accept this now. Yeah. We have a lot of information that we just can't say because it does no good. The audience isn't there. The people cannot comprehend. The world
how deep it is, right?
The world we live in. Erdogan personally wanted Sassy on Turkish soil to murder her.
Mm.
Sassy was going to lose her life no matter what. She had too much information. She had given them 5 different countries already. And she said, and you can pick up the recording, Mom, there's nothing left. It's my last mission.
Wow. Sad.
I mean, what is your opinion? Why would you think that this is such a taboo story?
I think it's such a taboo story because it happened to an American journalist, and the American government would have to ruin its foreign relations with Turkey to make a kind of bigger thing about Serena Shim, because she was an American citizen, and she's not the only journalists that has happened to.
And there's more to come, and you know that.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, thank you for doing this interview with me, Judith, and thank you to Sassy's sister and her husband.
Yes.
And I'm sorry that this had to happen to your daughter, and we're going to try to fight for justice. There was a petition going around. Is that petition still active?
No, they're not, because we've had over 27 petitions. We've had tweet storms. I cannot say enough thank you to Anonymous.
Yeah.
The group of Anonymous is activists. They have worked night and day for over a year and a half. We can literally tweet something about Sassy and watch it disappear. Our accounts are blocked. censored nonstop on it. I've had reporters tell me, we don't tell the story because this is an anonymous op. Name someone else that stood up for.
Yeah.
You can't.
Right. A lot of people knock anonymous, and a lot of reporters aren't allowed to report on certain things. I've talked to New York Times reporters and just different reporters for different websites and magazines, and they're not allowed to kind of put out their own story. They have to kind of have their editor approve it.
Yeah, I just had two stories go out.
Mm-hmm.
And times I got done editing, I refused them.
Wow.
What we're looking for and what we're going to get and what we hope we can unite the people to first open their eyes for their own good. Continue her work.
Right.
Continue her work. We might never know the truth of what they did to Sassy. We know Sassy did not die in a car accident. We know the story, not to minimize ISIS, was much bigger than ISIS, and Sassy had it.
Yeah.
Speak up. Speak up for Palestine. Speak up for these people, the oppressed people.
Right. Oppressed countries, yeah. Sad. It's a sad state, seeing the oppressed countries.
It's a sad state when you have people that turn on the 6 o'clock news and someone tells you what to think, and that's what you think.
Right. You don't question it, and it's ridiculous because people aren't thinking for themselves. But hopefully with something like this that people can see that it was a assassination. It wasn't an accident. It just happened as the media is reporting on this.
I don't know how they can, but I see it every day. I don't know how you can be that blind, that stupid, or live in that much fear.
Right. I mean, some people, they fear their government, and I think a story like this is a positive one of saying don't fear your government and do what you love to do and try to make a difference in the world.
We're Americans. We live in America. Her husband's here. Her children are here. She was going to be here. That was our plan.
Right.
We fear our government? Yeah, we don't know. Anytime they may want to shut us up. But we have a loyalty to the American people.
Right.
We have a loyalty to the world to continue on. This is just not about Sassy. I can't say there's anybody as amazing as Sassy, and that's just not a mother speaking. She was there. She saw it.
Right. She's your daughter, so obviously that's the way you're going to feel about her.
No, I think the whole world should feel that way about her.
Right. I agree. She did a lot, and she had a lot of accomplishments. And I think that the world needs to remember her for what she did and what she was trying to do, and that we try to fight for justice for you and for your family and for her. And whether that justice is continuing her work or fighting for some type of acknowledgement from the government to kind of tell what happened. Although you might never know what happened because the Turkish government's not going to just come out and say that they assassinated your daughter.
They're not the only country with blood on their hands.
That's true. There's a lot of different countries with blood on their hands. Sad state in the world. Do you have anything else you wanted to add, Judith?
I just ask everybody to support Operation Serena Shem. If that's something that you can't do, support the oppressed people. Do something to make a difference. If is it all to protect yourself and your children. That is our future.
Agreed. Do something to make a difference in the world and make a change.
Thank you, Aaron. We appreciate your time.
No, thank you. You guys have a good night.
You too.